Hi everyone, welcome to the weekly question and answer session for members of the Personal Paleo Launchpad. I'm Laura Schoenfeld. I'm a registered dietitian with a master's degree in public health.
And I'm Kelsey Marksteiner, a registered dietitian with a master's in human nutrition and functional medicine.
Thanks for joining us for this week's question and answer session. We'll be answering your questions from the private Q&A section of the forum, so if you have a question about your personal paleo code or about nutrition in general, let us know by submitting your question in the members-only area of the forum, and we'll do our best to answer it on the next show. And remember, this is just general advice and should not be used in place of medical advice from a licensed professional. So you ready to get started with our question today, Kelsey?
Yeah, and we're going to tackle this one together. So here's the question. I've been on a mainly paleo diet for about 12 months now, and I'd like to get started on the 30-day reset. The big problem is that if, like me, you're going it alone, working a full 45-hour week, I'm struggling to find the time and resources to prepare all my meals. I can't trust cafes or lunch places near the office that I use at the moment, so the only option that I can see is to bring my packed lunches. But preparing a variety of meals in advance seems nigh impossible if you still want to fit in time for exercise, let alone all the time it takes to get high-quality ingredients together. Supermarkets are pretty much off limits for food supply, and organic grocers are not always open in the hour before or after work. A weekend shopping trip seems to defeat the idea, as veggies won't be fresh anymore on the following Friday. What practical tips have you figured out to fit in all the prep work? What do you take for lunch at work? How to keep it all fresh?
Okay, so we're going to talk about this together because I would say this is a pretty common issue for a lot of people in general, not even just on paleo. I feel like anyone that's trying to eat healthier sometimes comes up against this kind of stuff. And I certainly don't envy this person having to work, you know, a 45-hour week and not being able to eat foods at home. Kelsey and I have the benefit of being able to work from home a lot of the time. So, you know, that definitely makes it easier for us. But there are plenty of people out there that are doing this kind of eating strategy and working and, you know, having to plan their shopping or and exercise around their work week. So it is possible. It just takes a little bit more foresight, I guess, and just thinking ahead and making sure you're not letting yourself get caught off guard during the week. And obviously the 30-day reset is a lot more restrictive than the typical, you know, 80-20 paleo recommendations that a lot of us promote. Just looking at what this person was saying about not trusting the places near the office that they use at the moment, there are ways to kind of get around that kind of thing. One example that I just thought of is say the place serves salads that either, you know, are prepackaged, or, you know, if there's a place that you can kind of build your own salad. If you're really concerned about quality for that 30-day reset period, you can bring certain items with you, such as a protein source or the dressing, which is usually the biggest issue when it comes to salads like that. So you can get the salad itself, which generally will have, you know, plant foods in it. Try not to get things like croutons or you know, I guess the cheese isn't allowed on the 30-day reset either, so you'd have to be a little bit more conscious about that kind of stuff. But then you can bring things like bone-in salmon or canned sardines, or possibly bring some beef jerky or something like that for your protein source if you're combining it with a salad. And then either bringing the salad dressing with you, maybe even just skipping dressing if it's something that's really difficult. Or, you know, just doing oil and vinegar and making sure they're using olive oil. So, again, that can be a little tough with certain restaurants. But if you wanted to just bring the dressing with you and the protein with you, then that's one way to do it without having to bring the entire meal with you.
Right. And you can even, you know, spend a little bit of time on the weekend, like, making a dressing for the week. I mean, if, for example, if you make, like, a balsamic dressing, that lasts pretty much indefinitely in the fridge. So, you know, you could just make a huge amount of that and just always have it on hand really, really easily.
Right. And actually, if you use certain types of protein sources, like say you get sardines canned in oil, then you may even just be able to use the oil in that pan and pour it on the salad and then get a vinegar from the salad place to just pour on top. So you're getting the oil and the vinegar, but you're not necessarily bringing a separate container of salad dressing with you. So that's one tip I have. Kelsey, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I do. I think this is a good time to talk about just basically thinking about easy, minimal prep foods that don't even need to be cooked. So things like canned fish, which you obviously mentioned, even high-quality deli meats, you know, without bad ingredients or anything like that, avocados, coconut milk, all of these things can be used to put together a super fast meal, and even things that you can prep in advance that take, you know, 5 minutes that you can bring to work. So, for example, you were just talking about a salad. So even if you were bringing that from home, I mean, that's the quickest thing on earth to make. You know, you just throw in some lettuce, some avocado, any other veggies you want, and then you can even bring just the canned fish separately and use the oil in there plus balsamic vinegar like you mentioned before, or making your own dressing and bringing that as well. You know, those kinds of things are super, super easy. So think about even something like a simple tuna avocado type of salad in like a lettuce wrap or with raw veggies on the side even. And something like, you know, I like to make curry sometimes with a canned curry paste and coconut milk and just basically throw that over some cooked meat and veggies for a quick meal too. So that's something you could prep super fast. You could even do it the morning before you go to work if you have a little bit of time and bring that for lunch too.
Yeah, and that's actually something I was going to mention is that, you know, part of what makes it a little difficult is having to prep everything either the morning of or, you know, thinking you have to prep individual lunches. One way that I really cut down on my prep time as far as when I was in grad school and going back and forth to class and everything is I just would make my dinner from the night before, maybe a 2-portion-sized dinner, and then save half of it for the next day and then just eat that at lunch either. I mean, I have no problem eating cold leftovers. That kind of thing doesn't bother me at all. Some people really hate that, so hypothetically, if you have something like a microwave at your office and you really need to heat up your food, then, you know, you could bring something that you had cooked the night before and then heat it up, at work. Microwaves are one of those things that some people think are horrible and other people think are absolutely fine. So I kind of don't have an opinion on them. I think if it's, you know, between getting a crappy lunch at the restaurant next door versus microwaving something that you cooked, I'd rather you microwave something that you cooked.
So, I totally agree with that, yeah.
And that actually, you know, that doesn't really increase the amount of time you're spending cooking. So, you know, you actually get 2 meals for the same amount of time it would take to cook 1 meal. So, and, you know, that I think is a lot easier for me to do than to pre-plan my lunches out in advance. That, you know, it's kind of like if you're only cooking once a day or twice a day, it's a lot easier than cooking 3 times a day.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, kind of on the topic of batch cooking somewhat, I mean, obviously the simplest way to do that is to just double anything. Pretty much anytime you make anything, you might as well just make more and use it for leftovers. But another thing you can do is invest in a slow cooker. And if you already have one, actually use it a lot more often. I often talk to clients and I'm like, you should really use a slow cooker. You know, this is the one I like. They're like, oh, I have a slow cooker. It's just like in my closet. I haven't touched it for years. You know, so you have to actually use it if you have it. And you can use this thing for pretty much anything. I make bone broth in it. I also use it to make many, many meals. So you can do things, like chili, carnitas, basically any kind of meat in there. And not to mention that you can use things that need to be slow cooked. So the cheaper cuts of meat, which, you know, makes everything a little bit cheaper, which is nice. And it's really, really healthy for you.
Yeah.
And you just have to do a minimal amount of prep work to get it set up, set the timer, and you're good to go, you know. So you can go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of recipes online for paleo slow cooker stuff. I mean, when I use mine, I don't really use recipes. I just kind of like throw a bunch of stuff in and just kind of assume it's going to taste fine. That's like the way I cook. I don't really use recipes.
Yeah.
Even if it kind of doesn't taste that great, I still eat it. So it's, you know, it's
you got to learn somehow, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I think once you get the hang of doing that kind of cooking more often, you kind of get a good idea about what tastes good together. So,
definitely.
You know, you don't necessarily need to use a recipe every time. And a lot of times with these stew recipes, there's a lot of interchangeability. So, you know, maybe they use beef and potatoes and say, oh, I don't eat potatoes. Like, I'm going to use sweet potatoes for this instead. And, you know, you can be flexible and you don't have to follow it to a T. And yeah, it's, I find it to be a really easy way to cook a big amount of food all at once. Yes. And then kind of just eat it for however many meals it lasts.
Exactly. So, and you know, you can also use this if you're out all day to kind of prep something great for dinner, and you don't have to worry about burners being on or anything like that. And you can also use it on the weekends or any day that you have some extra time to prep really big batches of food to bring for lunch for, you know, days when you don't want to eat out somewhere around your office.
Yeah, I think mine's like a 7-quart.
Yeah, I think mine is too, actually.
And mine actually, you can like pull the container out and like put it on the stove.
Yep, yeah.
And brown it. We might have the same one.
Probably. I forget what brand mine is.
I think it's like Hamilton Beach or something.
Yes, Hamilton Beach. That is exactly what it is.
So I guess we do have the same one. I love it because you can brown the meat in the same container as you slow cook it. So it's like way less dishes to do.
Yeah, it's great. I love that thing.
Yeah.
I have to say. It just makes, you know, it just makes it really, really easy because there's such like minimal prep work and then you just leave it in there. There's really nothing to it. As long as you kind of get the flavors right, you know, it's going to taste awesome.
Yeah. So one thing I noticed about this question that I'm a little not sure about is that they said a weekend shopping trip defeats the purpose because veggies won't be fresh on the Friday.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that. I, you know, being a single person that cooks and shops for myself, I usually do a pretty big shopping trip once a week mm-hmm. and get plenty of fresh produce. And I don't ever seem to have an issue with it being not fresh on a Friday. Like it might not be as beautifully fresh as it was the day you bought it, but I do think that as far as it being, first of all, safe to eat, of course. Like, it's not going to not be safe to eat after a week unless it was already kind of going bad when you bought it.
Right.
But I think that's something that people need to be a little bit more tolerant of, I would say, is being okay with the idea that vegetables don't have to be, you know, perfectly crispy and they're still good to eat. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that's nice about cooking them is that, you know, if your spinach starts to wilt or, you know, if the celery starts to get kind of not as crunchy, if you end up cooking them, it all tastes the same anyway. So,
right. And you can kind of actually use those almost done veggies and make soup or something with them at least.
Yeah. And for like even certain greens, like I get baby spinach for salads sometimes. And if I don't use it all and it starts to look kind of not as nice as a salad, then I'll just cook it. And it's like totally
Yeah, because you're not going to notice it at all once it's cooked. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And same thing goes for root vegetables. Even if they get a little soft and not as, you know, crunchy and, you know, delicious as they were the first day you bought them, it's still I feel like people shouldn't be throwing out food just because it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something we get kind of a little excessive with in this country about, like, you know, worrying about foods not being safe to eat because they're not, you know, perfect looking.
Yeah.
The food's going to – I mean, unless it's been in there for, like, a month or something and it's, like, moldy or smells weird or is slimy or something like that, it's really okay to – you know, eat vegetables that are a little bit wilted.
Yeah, and you might want to consider, like, making sure that you are storing things in the right place in your fridge, too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that, you know, can really destroy the shelf life of a vegetable. Like, if, for example, if I don't have room, like, in the vegetable drawer and I put something like a leafy green, like spinach, just on one of the shelves, and maybe my fridge is too cold, but like it'll get like icy a little bit, and that really kind of ruins it. I have to cook it at that point. It doesn't taste good, just, you know, raw. So
yeah,
consider that.
There's a lot of nuance, unfortunately, to storing vegetables properly, and there's some fruits and vegetables that aren't supposed to be refrigerated. There's some that are. There's some that you know, if you feel like they're going bad, you can actually refrigerate to help prevent them from going bad. One example is avocados. Like if you have avocados that are starting to get soft on your counter, you can actually put them in the fridge and they'll stop ripening. So there's a lot of information online if you want to do like a search about, I mean, maybe we can find a link to provide, but yeah, there's a lot of educational resources about how to store plant foods properly to make sure that they're, you know, the shelf life is as good as possible.
Yeah.
Another thing that I'd like to suggest here is that even though fresh vegetables are great, and obviously I promote people eating the fresh stuff if they can, I don't think there's anything wrong with frozen vegetables. So
me either. They're great, actually.
Yeah. So I think that that is something that can help, you know, if you wanted to get half your vegetables fresh and then half of them frozen, and then maybe use the fresh vegetables earlier in the week, and then once you run out of the fresh stuff, you can switch to the frozen stuff for the rest of the week. I just feel like sometimes people think that frozen vegetables aren't as nutritious, and for all the research on that topic I've seen, it's pretty much – they're either the same level of nutrient density, or sometimes they're even more because they actually can pick the stuff closer to the, you know, stage of ripeness that it's supposed to be picked at, and then freeze it right away so the nutrients get saved, as opposed to them being picked too early and then kind of forced to ripen. And you know, it's, if nothing else, the frozen stuff's just as good.
Yeah, and some exactly.
It might be better.
Yeah. So. And, you know, on the topic of vegetables too, in terms of actually eating them, you can bulk cook your vegetables for sure. You know, I've been on a veggie roasting kick lately, which I never used to do for some reason, but I just realized that this was a possibility and it's like opened up my world. So, you know, my boyfriend has been away for the last couple weeks doing a show in Boston. And so I've been by myself. Normally, you know, we cook for two, so we tend to go through things a lot more quickly. And I mean, I really like to cook, but it's tough when you're by yourself because at least for me, I see eating and cooking as a very social experience. So without my boyfriend like hanging out and cooking with me, cooking just isn't as fun for me, unfortunately. So I find that
welcome
I really
to my world.
Yeah, right. So I don't want to spend as much time cooking, which means that I like to make as much food as possible in one cooking session. And roasting a big pan of veggies makes that really, really easy for me. And I basically just save it all in the fridge and use it as I need it for my meals. Mm-hmm. So that's really easy.
I do the same thing because, as you're saying, it's, you know, cooking for yourself gets really old after a while. And I try to make my cooking experiences as simple as possible. So I'll do the same thing. Either it'll be a big batch of one type of vegetable, or it'll be a bunch of mixed vegetables. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to get variety in your diet, is like get six different types of vegetables and then just cut them all up and then roast them together. It's like the easiest thing in the world, and it helps kind of, you know, not only prepare a bunch of vegetables to eat across the week, but it's also a good way to get a lot of variety in.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll just cook it all at once, eat my portion for that meal, and then store the rest in the fridge and then pull out another portion and either, you know, sometimes I microwave it. Most of the time I try to use this convection oven that I have to just reheat things, or maybe throw it in a pan and just kind of saute it until it's warm. And then that basically takes out all the prep except for just reheating it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. I do the same thing, and it's so easy. It's so great.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of this stuff is just, you know, building new habits. People get used to the convenience of eating out or eating pre-packaged food from the grocery store or whatever. And it's just, you know, it's just going to take some time to be working on making that food for yourself and figuring out what fits into your schedule the best. Because what might work for me and Kelsey may not work for you.
Right.
You know, you might not have as much space in your fridge. You might not have the same kind of cooking tools that we do. But ultimately, I would say just try to find at least one method that makes your life a little easier, whether that be cooking double portions at dinner and saving your leftovers, or if it's, you know, getting up an extra 10 minutes early in the morning and making a salad to bring with you to lunch. it's just going to take a little bit of thought and a little bit of practice to kind of get in the habit of doing stuff that's more conducive to eating this way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it really just is changing your habits. Because even, like I mentioned, my boyfriend's been gone for a couple weeks and I'm by myself, and you know, I just had to change some things, which is perfectly fine. And I'm, you know, fine doing that. It just required me to kind of take a look at how much time I was spending every day. And I was like, God, I'm like wasting a lot of time cooking 3 meals a day. Maybe I should try to bulk cook some of this stuff, which made my life a lot easier. So, you know, even though I work from home, I generally don't want to cook lunch. You know, I want to have something already prepared for lunch that I can just heat up and eat. So that's basically the same as someone who works in an office. You know, you just have to have it prepped at least by the morning of, if not the day before, which is usually the case for me. And then just heat that up for lunch. And, you know, usually people are at least cooking breakfast and dinner as well. So that's typically not as difficult. It's really that lunch that gets in people's way.
Yeah. And like I was saying, I mean, it might be harder for the 30-day reset, but once you're done with the reset, feel free to kind of, you know, loosen up a little bit about eating the other kind of foods that might not be technically reset compliant, but, you know, are certainly not harmful on an infrequent basis. So that might be something like you go and get a salad and it has some feta cheese on it or something, and you tolerate cheese fine and it's not a big deal. And, you know, just because it's not paleo doesn't mean it's going to kill you. So try not to, you know, I understand that a lot of the cafes and those kind of places are not ideal, and they're certainly, it's rare to find a place that you feel like you can just order whatever and you're not worried about it. But, you know, try to just see if there's a place nearby that you can be a little bit picky about what they put into the food. And then, you know, if you become a regular customer there, they're usually pretty happy to make exceptions for you. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. That's a good point.
So, okay. Well, hopefully that was helpful. You know, there's a lot of this information in the Personal Paleo Launchpad as far as, you know, cheat sheets and that kind of thing that can help give tips for dealing with this kind of stuff. Certainly, I hope people are going to answer questions like this on the forum and give each other tips and that kind of thing, because a lot of times the best strategy for answering these questions is groupthink. So, you know, if anyone has recommendations for this person, then, you know, definitely feel free to share.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully these tips help you. They're definitely at least what Laura and I have kind of used to make our lives a little bit easier. And hopefully they help you as well.
Yeah, awesome. So, okay, well, we look forward to seeing you guys next week. And don't forget to submit your question in the private Q&A section of the forum.
All right. Take care, Laura.
You too, Kelsey.